Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Greetings, I'm Mario Murillo, in for Brian Lehr on WNYC and WNYC.org. Starting a new business is tough. First, of course, you need a good idea. Then you need some seed money, connections, and solid business and a solid business model. And let's, of course, not forget the physical things. Office space, pens, papers, desk chairs, a fax machine, perhaps. Yeah, we still use fax machines. Well, the mayor's office may not be able to help you come up with any good ideas or network, but they are willing to help you set up your office. The city is promoting the idea of business incubators. That's shared office space for startups where you can rent cheap space for short amounts of time and then obviously hopefully help get your business off the ground in the process. Joining us to explain why business incubators may be something to get the New York City economy going again, the economic engine going again, is David Hochman, who is CEO of the Small Business Incubators Association of New York. David Hochman, thank you for joining us here.
Good morning.
WNYC.
Pleasure to be here.
And we're also joined on the line by Catherine Gregory, who is the founder and director of Mi Kitchen Es Su Kitchen, a communal kitchen space in Long Island City that helps get baking and other food businesses off the ground. Catherine, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
It's good to have you. David, let's start with you. If you can just first explain the philosophy behind business incubators. The whole idea sounds pretty interesting.
Sure. The best way to understand what a business incubator is to think of it as an analogy with an incubator for baby chickens or baby humans. What it's really doing is providing the services that allow a very young company to survive in the period where it's most vulnerable and to prepare it for survival in a harsh world. In the case of baby humans, that's a warm environment and good nutrition and liquids. In the case of businesses, it is space, as you said, but it's also more than space. It's provision of really excellent business advice, access to specialized resources, and general business planning assistance.
Mm-hmm. So these are already in place. A number of them are in place already, or this is just
a number
about to-
are in place. In fact, The history of business incubation goes back about 50 years, and New York State's actually the place where the first one got started, upstate, and also the place where the first university-affiliated business incubator got started, also upstate. And we've had a number in the city for several years. The mayor's program expands the capacity in, I think, a very smart way and adds space in Manhattan under the management of a very skilled incubator manager.
Now, what is a typical kind of setup? Say I want to start up an internet radio station. How would I, you know, what's the kind of space setup? What's
right.
allotted to me, et cetera?
There's no single model. It's important to appreciate there are a wide variety of organizations that operate incubators. There are educational institutions. There are economic development nonprofits. There are even for-profit companies, which was a model that became popular around the time of the dot-com wave and still exists. And also within those different models, there are a wide range of different kinds of businesses, from biotech, biomedicine businesses, which require access to wet laboratories, ability to do experiments and proper zoning and environmental controls, to internet and media type companies, which require good bandwidth and connectivity, but not a lot of specialized facilities otherwise, to micro-enterprise companies of the kinds that Catherine serves in the kitchen incubator.
I'm going to get to Catherine in a second. Just remind listeners, we're speaking with David Hochman, who is the CEO of the Small Business Incubators Association. And if you have any questions, and maybe you want to start up or you're thinking of starting something up, you've already started something up and you need that kind of warmth and that space to kind of get your thing going, or maybe you've already launched something and you've had an experience with an incubator, give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Maybe you're a little hesitant because of that question ever present in New York City about space, and perhaps this is something that you're just hearing about. So give us a call, 212-433-9692. When you talk about shared space, then what exactly is being shared? Computers? What exactly is
well, we've yet
about?
To see exactly how this space is going to be set up. Typically, incubators have a range of small private offices that are flexible so that they can expand or contract as the business needs them, possibly some open bullpen space where student interns or other part-time employees can work for them. And again, in the case of science and engineering-based businesses, some laboratory facilities. In this case, my understanding is there will be a small number of private offices. Actually, the space we're talking about is in the same building as the WNYC studios. You actually have the same landlord. And a large bullpen area of independent cubicles where people will be able to get things started with a minimum amount of space but a high amount of support.
That's right. The space that you mentioned here at 160 Varick Street, it's through the Polytechnic Institute of NYU, as I understand, and the facility can accommodate about 100 people, and rents will start at $200 a person a month for 6 months. Is that more or less what we're looking at, or are you not totally clear on that?
That's my understanding of the deal, but it's important to appreciate that this is a temporary arrangement. Nobody has a desire to undercut the commercial real estate market. In a good incubator, companies are expected to graduate after a certain period of time, and I'm sure that will be the case here.
You're not expected to stay there permanently.
That's correct.
It's not squatting after all. That's the
difference between an incubator and a pure real estate operation.
Absolutely. Okay, I want to bring on Catherine Gregory again, the founder and director of Mi Kitchen, Soup Kitchen. I just love the name of your organization, Catherine. Tell us what the communal cocina actually looks like. What are we talking about?
All right. Well, Mario, I have three facilities, and each one is different. What we're talking about in a kitchen incubator is having access to commercial equipment. That means we're not expecting the entrepreneur to use a 5-quart KitchenAid mixer. We're expecting them to graduate their business, if they want to truly grow, to use an 80-quart mixer. That's a big difference. So these pieces of equipment, a beautiful deck oven or a revolving rack oven, which can accommodate 40 trays of product at the same time, is not something somebody can install in their house, and nor do we want them to. Understanding that if you're going to grow a food business, if you're going to grow any business, you have to have the proper foundation. That means you've got to be some type of a legal entity. I don't care if it's a DBA or an LLC or an Inc. You have to have insurance. You have to, in the case of food, you have to be in a commercial space with the licensing and everything else, the structure behind you to grow your business.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, the food industry and starting up any restaurant or bakery or, you know, anything, even a small cafe, it's very capital intensive. So what types of people are generally participating or walking through the door at Mi Kitchen?
Well, it's not the restaurateur and it's not the cafe owner, because they have to have their own facility. Mm-hmm. It is the brownie maker, somebody making, you know, the family recipe for relish or pickles or quiche or anything like this. This is the manufacturer who's going to sell their product to the Dean and DeLucas, the cafe owner, even the restaurants, because a lot of restaurants don't have the space to, you know, have a lot of baking being done there. They make one or two things, and the rest of the things they buy. So this is for a manufacturer coming in who needs this professional equipment to manufacture in volume to sell to somebody else. Now, also, some of the brownie makers and et cetera are selling at the flea market. Again, we still come back to having a commercial facility where they can manufacture in volume and still meet the stringent health codes that are required. We're dealing with food. Nobody wants their clients to be sick.
All right, that's an issue that we can get back to, but we have a number of callers certainly interested in this. I guess a lot of folks are really curious about taking advantage of some of these spaces. Bob is joining us from Manhattan. Bob, you're on WNYC.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm the sole proprietor of a small business. I repair furniture. I get a lot of antiques, and my joke is there's a lot of broken chairs in Manhattan. And it's, you know, I make a living at it, but I've got such a tiny space that I can't expand. I couldn't bring, I couldn't work with another person. My shop space is so tiny, and it's uptown a bit. And anybody who does this now has to come in from New Jersey or from out on the island or something. They drive in a truck, and they pick furniture up and move it out there. What I would need is shop space, and that's, woodworking. That's probably insurance. All that's involved with, sort of that kind of work. Could they help me with something like that?
David Hockman, what do you think? Thanks. Thank you so much, Bob.
That's a kind of space that's extremely short in New York City now. I don't think any of the ones in the mayor's program could help. There are some prospects in the city that I'd be happy to mention if it's appropriate. There's a group in Queens called the Greenpoint Design and Manufacturing Center that is actually not an incubator because they don't want their tenants ever to graduate, but they do make space for artisanal furniture manufacturers and I assume repairers as well, and I'd recommend that as a contact for the caller.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your call. Becca in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC.
Hi. I just wanted to bring to your listeners' attention that there's been, over the past several years, a growing movement called co-working, and this is actually an international phenomenon. If you type into Google co-working, all one word, you'll see a list of spaces across the world that have been sort of de facto incubator spaces, and a lot of these places are in different kinds of spaces. I've been running one for the last 3 years in Williamsburg, at a multi-purpose venue called The Change You Want to See. And that, during the day, is a shared office space where people who are sick of talking to the cat all day or are looking for a collaborative work environment with a little dose of social. It's very focused, though. There's programmers and writers and designers and so on. So I've found it an incredibly productive work environment. So you can check it out at co-working or at thechangeyouwantosee.com.
Thank you so much for that call, Becca. It's interesting because later on in the program we're going to be talking about the changing labor forces that many of which are beyond our control, but as a result of globalization. And I think this is sort of a reflection of kind of a different concept of the way we see our businesses and the work that we do, isn't it not?
It is. I agree with the caller that co-working is an important part of the incubator space generally. I'd love to see some co-working organizations join our association. What they offer tends to be, as she said, more appropriate to people in the computer and programming space and people who benefit mainly from collaboration rather than necessarily from mentoring in a more structured environment, but it is an important component.
Mm-hmm. Well, our listeners are calling in and with a lot of good suggestions. Will from Williamsburg joining us, I think, has an answer to the previous caller's question. Will, thanks for calling.
Hi, yeah. There's a great space in Williamsburg called Third Ward that's actually a membership collective. And I forget if it's 20 or 50,000 square foot, but it's huge. And it's got not just carpentry equipment, which would solve that last guy's problem,
Bob,
but there's video editing booths and studios and welding equipment. And they also teach classes. And it's a pretty, forgive me, I don't know the prices, but it's a really low membership cost.
And where is it again?
You can go in there, and again, like the bakery solution, it's high-end, large equipment that, you wouldn't be able to get into your little shop or a shop that you could afford, but for a really reasonable fee, you get access to all this stuff that, that quality commercial artists have access to. So it's a great place to start out.
So, Will, it's called Third Ward. Where is it again?
Third Ward, 3RDWARD.com, I think.
And so you got to check it out online, but where is it physically located?
Oh, it's on Morgan Avenue in Williamsburg,
Williamsburg. Okay, great. Well, thanks so much for that suggestion. Hopefully Bob was still tuned in and jotted that down. But that brings me to, once again, Catherine, in terms of the workspace and the mood and the collaboration. How is the mood in Me Kitchen, the Soup Kitchen? I would imagine there is some kind of collaborative exchange, if you will.
Yes, and each of the kitchens is very different. But at the Artisan Baking Center Kitchen Innovations Incubator, which is a very long word, we have four tenants at one time. For each shift, we've got four different tenants. And I structure it so that we'll have a baker, we may have a bread baker. We try not to have two brownie makers at the same time. And the collaboration is amazing. To the point that about 2 months ago, two of our tenants, Nunu Chocolates, who does chocolate, of course, and Hot Bread kitchen, which does breads and tortillas, got together. Hot Bread makes a lavash. Nunu, of course, does high-end chocolates. And they're now hand-dipping lavash in chocolate with a sprinkle of sea salt.
Wow. Well, it must smell really nice there.
It smells great in that kitchen, and I think I gain a few pounds every time I walk through.
God, it might be worth just taking a visit just for that. In terms of profits, is there a way to gauge, Catherine, first you, is there a way to gauge how people are doing, in terms of their business, working through your kitchen?
Oh, it's very simple for me. I will have somebody who starts, let's say, one time a month. And suddenly, in a few months, I see them, as they're booking, they're calling me and saying, I need extra shifts. Or now they're up to two shifts a month, and now suddenly they're up to one shift a week. So I know that they're increasing their business.
David Hochman, could we say the same thing, that there's a way to measure the success, especially in these difficult times?
We know some things about incubation nationally based on national academic research on incubation. We know that about 80% of the companies graduating from a good business incubator are still surviving 5 years after graduation. We know that about 80 to 85% of companies that get started in incubators stick to the region where they got started, which is very, very important for the economic development approach. It's been a little bit hard to do properly designed studies to assess that versus companies that are not incubated because it's so difficult to find comparable companies and control statistically, but it's certainly the sense of the academic researchers who study this, that business incubation is effective and cost-effective per public dollar put into it.
Are you seeing an increase in demand given people are losing jobs, people are, businesses are failing left and right? Are you seeing an increase in demand for it?
There's definitely an interest. And just going back to what you said about the change in workforce, particularly upstate where we have a number of our members as well, there are cities like Buffalo and Syracuse that have traditionally been manufacturing towns and are now really making the transition to a knowledge economy that really regard this as a very critical part of their economic development strategy. And the incubator can become the focal point for a lot of the entrepreneurial energy in a community.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of stimulus funds, is that something that is being considered? Is there any possibilities of receiving stimulus funds to create this and expand this kind of space that seems to have some positive results?
The federal government, since the 80s, has not played a very big role in local economic development generally, but there is money in the federal stimulus bill for construction of incubators. The U.S. Economic Development Administration, which has played that role for many years, receives some supplemental funding. When you divide it over 50 states, it's not a lot of additional money, but it is there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds great. David Hochman is the CEO of the Business Incubators Association of New York, and Catherine Gregory, president of Meat Kitchen S. Sue Kitchen, which is a kitchen incubator in Long Island City. I thank you all. And if any of you are interested in getting more information about business incubators, we've put links on the website to both the Business Incubator Association of New York and the Mayor's Initiative, where you can sign up to get more information. We should also say that there's an event next Wednesday, April 22nd, through Boot Up New York City. It's at Webster Hall near Union Square in Manhattan. It's a meetup for new business owners and office space providers. All of the information, of course, is on our website, wnyc.org. Click on the Brian Lehr Show. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll be talking about CUNY and financial aid. Stay with us.